So tonight I want to start out with a love story. When I had just finished college, I decided to spend the summer up at a summer camping ministry. And I, from Portland, Oregon, went to Seattle, and unbeknownst to me, this lovely lady named Dina DeVries was in British Columbia, Surrey, and she thought to do the same thing, and sure enough, we ended up at the same summer camp. And as soon as she walked into the dining hall, I remember the moment, I was smitten. I was like, who is that girl? Now, it took her a little bit longer because I was very American at that point, but, you know, but we had a summer romance, Christian, you know, Bible camp, very intense, all, you know, all that whole thing, and really, really just had a wonderful summer. But she went home, and the last week of camp, I was backpacking. I led a backpacking camp, and I was just a whipped puppy. You know, this is, you're going to laugh. All I had, I didn't even have a picture of her. I had a Canadian stamp. I don't know where I got it. It was in my backpack. And I would just look at this Canadian stamp and go, oh, I miss Dina. These poor people I was trying to lead this backpack. And you're like, you're such a wiener, you know? So as soon as I got back to Portland, I was like, oh, man, we got to start seeing each other. And we thought, was this going to be a summer romance? No. We were engaged at Christmas, married less than a year. 35 years this summer. I'm still smitten. Yeah. But when you're in love like that, do you have to work up the desire to see the other person? Is it like, oh man, do I have to see her again? I was in Eugene initially, and she was in Surrey. We used to like get in the car after work, and I was loading trucks for 8 hours. I'd get in the car and drive till midnight so I could go and see her over the weekends, right? She would do the same. I mean, crazy in love. But you know, when you're in a relationship like that, nobody has to remind you. You don't have to, you know, I mean, later in marriage, kids come along, right? You have to have the date night, you know, to remind yourself. That's all right. Don't stress. Write it down. Do it. Tuesday nights, whatever. Do the thing, right? But when you're in love like that, no one has to tell you to hang out with that person. You think about them all the time. Tonight, we're going to talk about really the bedrock for prophetic ministry. And I think this could be maybe one of the most important nights in the whole course. Is the bedrock prophetic ministry is just enjoying spending time with God. That's probably the most important thing that we could nurture and begin to learn to do in even greater ways is just spend time with God, relationship with God. It's not about technique and it's not about, you know, 58 things and how to interpret 12 dreams. And, you know, we're going to get to a lot of that stuff and talk about things. But at the bedrock, it's about relationship with God and just enjoying spending time with God. We'll look at some scriptures tonight. One of the ones that is just super well known is Luke 10. This is the story at the end of Martha and Mary. I think I've heard this thing preached 15 different ways over the years. Probably half of them I've done. Everybody has an opinion and some angle on how to preach this passage. And, you know, this is this and this is this. One of the things I've learned about very, very familiar passages, watch for what Jesus says, because that's pretty good, right? You know the story, Martha and Mary. Jesus is coming over. It's a big honor. They're good friends. You know, Martha wants to have this supper, and she's wanting some help from her sister. I'm in 10:39, and she called her sister, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left to serve me alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion." That's an interesting translation. The good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And just, I love that picture of the busyness of the event. It was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing, what they were doing, you know, to have this meal and honor Jesus. But there was something even better that Mary realized. Well, that was just to be in the presence of Jesus, in the midst of all the busyness. And I think one of the things that I think about when we think about the prophetic is, you know, Lord, I want to talk to you about 10 things. And what does this mean? And what about this person? And what is that? Oh, you know, there's all these things we need to get to, Lord. I need to hear from you. And yeah, that's okay. But what about just enjoying being with God? I think that's such a great bedrock place to start, is just to enjoy being with God. Someone has said that the good is often the greatest enemy of the best. So there's a lot of things we can be involved that are good things. Was it good to serve a meal like that? I don't think there's anything wrong with what was going on there. But the good had gotten in the way of the best. The master was there. Jesus was there. And Jesus said, I'm not going to take that away from her. So just to be thinking about that issue of just enjoying spending time with God without an agenda, without a bunch of questions, without a whole bunch of stuff you need from God. He knows that. He already knows all the stuff we need. And we get to do that. But are there times, and can we grow in the ability just to be with God? I don't know what your week's been like. Mine's been crazy. But yesterday and today, I've just been looking for little pieces, little windows, even driving the car, or just 5 minutes, and just going, Lord, how cool is this that there's nobody bugging me right now? My phone is not ringing. There's no one wanting something from me. I just get to hang out with you. And it's been really neat. Somebody talked about it as practicing the presence of God. Just in our daily routine, just saying, hey, how cool is this? We get a minute here, Lord. You know, what's on your heart? What are you interested in? What's going on? You know, so just that's really a bedrock thing in terms of starting and thinking about the prophetic. Comments or questions about that? That makes sense? It seems really obvious, but we can miss it.
But even just the practicing creates the awareness. Yeah. And it's, instead of being focused on whatever's happening here, you're focused on God in the situation of
very
what's
good.
Happening.
Yeah, very good. Good. Other comments on just enjoying being with God? Good. Well, let's move on. So the bedrock of prophetic ministry, I think, is just relationship and time with God. It's falling deeper in love with God. You know, Mary chose the good portion. And I want to look at Jesus' life tonight, and that might be a strange place to start, but we know from Scripture that Jesus completely filled three roles, the prophetic role, the priestly role, and the kingly role. These were roles that we saw in the Old Testament, and we knew that they were going to come together in the Messiah, these three roles, but it was hard to understand as it was happening. But looking back now, we see Jesus completely filled all three of those roles. And he definitely had a prophetic ministry. Many times he referred to himself as in a prophetic ministry. But can we really look at Jesus as an example? It's a good question. For most of my life, I would say, no way, Jesus is God. You know, he was like an inch off the floor all the time. I can't expect to be like him. But I'm starting to grow in the last number of years and starting to understand what took place when he was on earth. I read a good theologian recently that said, on earth, Jesus was never more than a man and never less than God. It's hard for us to get our head around that. Philippians 2 says he took and laid aside his deity. It's hard to figure out just exactly how this worked. But I'm starting to see more and more that Jesus was operating in full dependency on the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit as he lived his life. And I think way more example, you know, in terms of what Jesus is doing than I ever thought about. So I'm starting to clue in and say, Jesus, you know, what if this is for me? You know, I'm not Messiah, I'm not God, but you are operating in full dependency on your Father. So what can I learn? And what can we learn about the prophetic from Jesus? I think there's lots. Let's look at a couple things. Mark 1:32. This is a passage I often think about in terms of when things get pressurized, as they have been in the last week, and maybe some of you can relate to that too, but Mark 1:32. So this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons. The whole city was gathered together at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Can you imagine the intensity of, Steffi, could you plug that in for me? It's down below. The intensity of that ministry, of that event, that some of you that have done ministry, particularly some of you that have done, you know, deliverance kinds of ministry, and God's used you to bring healing through people who are being hassled with a demonic, it takes a lot out of you. Like, there's a lot when you're giving in that kind of ministry. So Jesus has done that whole night, that whole ministry thing, and then what happens? What I'd be doing is I'd be sleeping in the next morning, you know? I'd be posting a guard, an apostolic guard. Don't make anybody bug me. I'm sleeping until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. What does Jesus do? Look in verse 35. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place where he prayed. Just hanging out with God. And Simon and those who were with him searched him, and they found him and said, everyone's looking for you. Yeah. And he said to them, let's go to the next towns that I might preach there also. That's why I came. Seems strange. There's this whole thing happening and everybody's looking for him. Jesus says, oh, yeah, there's some other places we need to go. Let's go over there. How did he know that? He knew that because he had spent time with his Father, with the Lord, that early that morning, just listening, I suppose, just enjoying being with God. And they went through Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out many demons. So I just love that illustration of Jesus just finding that space with his heavenly Father, even in the midst of crazy ministry, whole cities looking for you. I mean, we can't even imagine the kind of pressure he was under. But just listening and spending that time, finding a place to get away and be with God. I just love that picture of what Jesus was doing in that situation. You know, relationship precedes direction is another way to say that. So, you know, God loves relationship. He's called us to relationship. He's given his son on the cross so we can be in relationship with him. So it's not always about coming just to get stuff from him. Actually, all that stuff flows out of relationship. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all this other stuff, the things I know you need and all the questions you have and the mortgage and all the stuff with the kids and all that stuff, I know about that. But let it start from relationship, just spending time with me and flowing out with me. Another neat one is in John 5:19. Just little pictures of kind of how Jesus was filling himself and was operating under the in the relationship with God. John 5:19. This is when they were starting to accuse him of, you know, this thing about being equal with God. And there was quite a bit going on in his ministry. It was pretty intense. In verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord." This is what I was mentioning earlier. I'm starting to see that Jesus set aside his deity, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. Greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. That's a very amazing thing. You know, there's all these things going on. This just in the context of the healing that took place before that. And Jesus said, I'm just watching what my heavenly Father's up to, and I'm just doing what he's doing. I'm just cooperating with where he's going. Does that sound like a lot less pressure than feeling like you have the whole weight of the world on your shoulders and have to heal somebody or make something happen or cough up some prophetic word or fix somebody's problems? Man, it does to me. Just to say, God, what are you doing? And Lord, thank you for showing me. I'm just going to come in behind you and just do what you want to do. We're praying for that. The team is praying for that. For tonight, ministry time, that we don't have to make something happen. We just say, Lord, what are you doing? We just want to come in behind what you're doing tonight. We're expecting the Lord to do that. And I just love it. I see what my Father's doing. It's almost like a little child. If you've watched a kid and maybe the father's in the workshop and they're working with a hammer. Well, soon enough, you turn around, the little kid's got a hammer and they're banging on something. What are they doing? They're watching their father. They're just emulating what they see their father doing. Or someone's cooking in the kitchen. You see a child just, that's the simplicity of just saying, this is what I see my father's doing and I'm doing it. Pretty neat scripture. Thoughts or questions about either one of those comments? That is John 5:19-20. Yeah. And you know, and that's such a great question when you're just spending time with God, just to say, Lord, what are you up to today? I'm trying to learn in the morning, first thing in the morning, to say, you know, when the alarm goes off, man, this morning, you know, some of those mornings the alarm goes off and pretty early for me as a bus driver. And I'm like, who am I? What is that? What's happening? What is that sound? Where am I? You know, those mornings when you're just so sound asleep, right? But I'm trying to train myself, as soon as I get the alarm clock off and realize what's happening, just to go, Lord, what's up on your heart today? You know, and Sunday I preached and I just felt, when I first got up, I felt like God was just saying grace. Now I had a pretty intense message to deliver on Sunday. And I felt like God was just saying, be gracious in that. So it's neat. Yeah.
I just noticed as you were reading it out that it says, the Father loves the Son and shows him everything
yeah.
that he's doing.
How
it's
cool
not
is that?
That like we have to be like, okay, God, I'm looking,
yeah.
I'm looking. It's like he's laid it out and presented
right.
it for you before you
We're not begging.
Yeah.
He loves to show that, you know? Like, you know, when you're working with someone again in a wood shop, you know, and your child's there. I love teaching kids and grandkids stuff. It's not onerous to me. I think God's like that too. You say that?
Isn't that basically how his yoke is made easy?
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
I don't know if it says it in the book, but anyway, I can't remember where I got things
very
from,
good.
But it that really struck me was the fact that if you're listening, then you have rest and peace. And
yeah, and God's already up to stuff anyway. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's already got a plan for today. So even if I wake up half dead, he's not. He hasn't slept. So it's just a neat way to start thinking about just cooperating with God. Like, well, what are you up to today? What's going on? Or in a situation where something's going weird, it's like, Lord, what are you up to right here? You know, just in your spirit. Good. Let's keep going. John 15. This is one that's just real, real key here. And you know this one. This is the vine passage. But, I think I could spend the rest of my life thinking about John 15 and still see new stuff the Lord's given, because it's such a wonderful picture. But John 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. He goes through this issue of pruning and our discipline and what God is working out in our lives. And he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it's he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Dina has these beautiful vines that grow on our fence, and I love them, except for this one that grows into my 57 Chevy. You know, so the other day I was cutting the vines, and they're all intertwined, and you can't really see what's going on. So I cut a vine, but I didn't realize till the next time I was out on the truck was that I had cut that vine, but something over here was dying, and I realized that's all connected. I cut the source over here, but I didn't see what was on there. That's the issue of abiding with Jesus. All of everything we do flows through his ministry. And that's a great way to think about the prophetic ministry. Say, Lord, I just need to stay connected with you. You know, the juice, if you want to say that, for ministry and for God working through us comes through him. And we just abide, we remain with him. Just an amazing way to think about what God's doing. And then Jesus goes on from there in terms of things that flow out of that kind of abiding. But abiding with Jesus. Thoughts about that? Observations about John 15? I know a lot of you love that passage too. Remain with me. Just remain in me. Okay, let's look at a couple Old Testament ones because I want to keep trying to draw the connections between the prophetic and the Old Testament and the New Testament. We'll get to some of the differences at some point, but Daniel 6 is a neat passage. Daniel was a stunning guy. When you see the amount of prophetic material that, you know, God entrusts him in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, you know, he's changing courses of nations and kings because of his prophetic ministry. I mean, the stakes could not be higher than what God was using Daniel in the profile, not just in one leader, but generations of leaders Daniel had this ministry in. But one of the things that's very interesting to me in Daniel 6:10, there were people that coming out to get him, and they were trying to trip him up. You know the story. They couldn't find anything wrong because he was a righteous man. But in verse 10, it says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, this is this ridiculous thing that you have to bow down to the stupid statue, and he just said, I'm just not going to do that. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God, as he had before, as he had done previously. You see that this is not just a, oh no, we're in trouble, I'm going to die, run, freak out to God. This was just Daniel's normal pattern. He just spent time with God in prayer and 3 times a day. I mean, man, that, you know, that's pretty regimented, but you get what's going on. So these men came and they found Daniel making his petition before God. He's not trying to hide it. The windows are open. You know, he knows that this is going to be, you know, probably his death, because he does this, but it's just that he consistently had done that and built that into God. And I think that's one of the great things about Daniel was just over time, he had spent time with God. There's a cumulative value in just spending time with God. Some days, maybe you spend some time with God and you feel like, well, that wasn't really that great. Or, you know, I had no earth-shattering kind of a thing. But over time, it's just like a relationship that grows, right? Over time, there's a depth that comes in the dailiness, the discipline of just listening to God, spending some time maybe reading his word, praying, just reflecting on what God's up to. Maybe that day is not that exciting. Maybe that week seems dry. Maybe you've had a month where you've just felt like it's been kind of dry. But I can promise you, God is building things into your life in those times. And over days and months and years and decades, there's a beautiful thing that God begins to do. Some of you know Rosemary's story. I always think of her in terms of not years, decades walking with God and what God builds into that. And I just see that in Daniel, when the panic time came, those things had all been built into God. It wasn't even an issue. It's like, oh, should I bow down or not? No, of course not. I'm not going to do that. I know who God is. And if he takes my life, no problem. I know where I'm headed. You know, because he had built that in day after day after day after day. You know, when the phone rings, there's a couple people that I don't need to look at call display for. You know, one of them is my dad, my father, who's 88. He was here last weekend, weekend before last. He can say hello, and I know who it is. You know, sometimes he says, hey, son, that's a giveaway, okay. But it doesn't even have to do that. You know, half a syllable, and I know who he is. Why do I know his voice so well? Because I've spent my whole life hanging out with my dad. And just, you know, he raised me and trained, taught me. And he's a wonderful friend of my life. A couple times a week, he lives in Portland, I call him. We just hang out, talk on the phone. I know his voice because I have spent my whole lifetime with him. Now, maybe an individual conversation wasn't that great. How you doing, Dad? Oh, you know, we did this. Okay, cool. I love you, Dad. But over time, that relationship, of course, has a lifetime of depth to it. It's the same thing in the spiritual with God. We build in that time with God, and we begin to recognize his voice. You know, it's hard sometimes when we're growing in the prophetic, and this is one of the things we'll talk about eventually, is, you know, what is that impression from? Is that a God thing? You know, when I feel like I need to go say this thing to that person or do this event, how do I know if that's God? And it's hard to know because there's noises that come from the enemy. You know, our head sometimes has stuff. Sometimes it's Safeway pizza. You know, and there's a lot of things that are going on that we're not sure what that is. But the more we know the voice of God and the more time we spent with him, it's like when my dad calls, it's like, oh, I know. That's God. That's a God one because I recognize his voice because I've hung out with him and spent time with him. Dina was thinking about a picture the other day. I like big war movies, you know, like, you know, Freedom, you know, Gladiator, two armies, oh, you know, she hates it, you know, but she puts up with me. I do have to watch chick flicks for payback sometimes, but yeah, rarely. But I was watching something with, you know, chainmail. Oh, Knight's Tale, chainmail on, you know, that real fine stuff they wear that, and she said, can you imagine how much work that was to create that chainmail? How much time it would have taken piece by piece. I'm like, yeah, great, honey, you know. So then at the other tense part of the movie, she's like, that's like a spiritual thing, honey. She's like, that's like our relationship with God. We spend time with God daily, and he's just putting little pieces in. So when the battle comes, we're impervious to... I'm like, great. But that's a wonderful picture. You know, maybe just a little piece of chainmail doesn't seem like much, but over weeks and months and years and a lifetime of spending God, he's clothing us. He's making us prepared for the things that he has to... And he's protecting us in those things. So... don't despise the day of small beginnings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found that obedience really makes a difference to hearing. And,
yes.
And to sometimes risk, you know, like, if you know, should I phone her or shouldn't I phone her?
Yeah.
I phone.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Because you just learn after a time that it's better to err on the side of...
Yeah.
Of obedience.
That's right. Yeah. Because sometimes it's just little things, you know, and we won't have time tonight, but hopefully we'll get to it at some point. But some of the prophets, we'll get over there in just a minute. Some of the prophets, God gives them just a little thing. What do you see? Oh, I see an almond branch. Exactly. Now let's go on to something bigger. You know, these little beginnings are good. Jeff.
So Mark, back at just dumb it down, for lack of a better word.
No dumb.
How do you figure out early on that that's the voice of God or not? Like you talk about hearing God, recognizing God, spinning to what? How do you know it's not the piece of pizza or it's just your thought? You want to feel something or know something?
Well, it's okay to grow in it. It's okay to mess up. That's the first thing to say. It's okay to trust God in it. There is the Word of God. We talked about that before. He doesn't ever violate. God's not schizophrenic. He doesn't say one thing in his Word and do one thing and. So it's always consistent with his word. So that's the closer we're in God's word, the more we'll recognize his voice. There is help from others that in the body of Christ. We're not to be isolated. So to have people who are growing in this ability, and particularly people maybe a little farther ahead in us and experience, to say, hey, would you help me? Just pick up the phone and say, you know, I'm thinking about this. And we're going to start to do that together. I'm excited. That's going to start happening really quickly. So we're going to start to, matter of fact, let me just give it to you right now, and then we'll do this last piece. But what I want to ask you to start to do is I want to ask you to start to develop a prophetic journal. And what is a prophetic journal? I'm not specifying what it is, but I'm just asking you to start to record thoughts, impressions, scriptures, things that you think that God is talking to you about. Sometimes it's good to have it by your bed if you're a person who dreams dreams. Not everybody's that way. But just to start to write down things in this time with the Lord. So like if I call my dad and he talks about, you know, what he did that day, that's kind of what I'm saying with you, Heavenly Father. What you sensed the Lord is talking about, just start to write it down. Don't worry about what does it mean. We'll talk about that. We're going to move on from there. You know, what do I do with this? Is it right or wrong? Just start to record some of those things. I just want to ask you to start to do a prophetic journal. Some of you are laughing because you're probably already doing this. I'm going to ask you to start bringing that every week. And in the ministry time, I know we will. We're going to say, okay, now let's talk about this. And someone will share something. We'll talk about it together and we'll pray. And then how did it work out? And, you know, we'll learn from each other. So, Jeff, there's a really great thing to be in community, in a school of prophets, if you want to call it that, where we're growing in that together. There's a safety in that. And it's okay to mess up. You know, the fact that we're growing, I mean, God loves that. You've heard me say lots, but little kids walking, you know, just learning to walk, and they're on the, you know, coffee table and they fall down. Oh, that's so dumb. I can't believe you did that. Don't ever try that again. No, man. Parents have got like the video camera. Oh, look, call grandma. You know, the kid's walking. We're so excited. I think God is like that for us in this prophetic journey too. Even when we're just new and we're just starting and we're just struggling, this was his idea. He's put it in you. And so he's excited to see that come too. So there's a few things there. But yes, please. Let's start a prophetic journal. So just have paper around or whatever, how you want to do electronic, it doesn't matter. But and again, don't get too freaked out. If it seems like a small thing, if it's a, man, I saw a picture. So Dina in the prayer time with the support team said, you know, I was at the barbecue this afternoon, that little pilot light thing. We talked about whoosh last week. She said, tonight I just saw those little pilot lights connecting with people in the room. So we prayed into that as a team and said, we're going to be ready, Lord, to see things getting lit up as you go around the room tonight. Well, that's just a prophetic picture. Just write it down. You don't have to know what it means, and we'll get to learning about all that stuff, but just begin to record what you think your Father's saying. And so I want to encourage you to start doing that. I want you to bring it with you if you could, and in the ministry times, we're going to start to utilize that more and more. Yes, Anne?
It is prophetic, yes. I think it is anyway. If you feel led to email somebody a particular scripture. And especially if they indicate, well, that theme God has just been putting through my life, you know. And it doesn't have to be really big, I'm saying.
That's right. You know, you might even feel like, I had the feeling today, I need to call a guy that I haven't talked to for a month or two in Calgary. And I just called him. I would put that in my journal. I just had a feeling I need to call Al. And it was a sweet conversation. Now, that could be just a really small thing, but that's something that the Lord could be leading you in. So just record. We're going to talk about what to do with that as we go along. But what I'm hoping is in a couple of weeks, you'll have a body of material that we can talk about and we can learn together. And those that maybe are more experienced and say, oh, yeah, let me help you with that. Here's what, you know, that might work and this can go here. And so.
Don't feel bad if you don't get a lot of stuff.
You don't have to have 58 things, but if you feel like God's speaking to you about something or showing you something, just record it. And we're going to start to grow in that. So, just one more scripture. Felicity's team teaching with me tonight. She's being very patient, so she's going to take the last half of the course, but I just want to look at Amos 3:7. This is such a neat scripture. Sometimes Amos is a hard book to find, but this is in the context of a whole bunch of judgment and whoa, and, you know, like a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, the news is not super good because they're calling people back from repentance. But Amos 3:7 says this, "For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. What? The Lord reveals his secret to the prophets and to prophetic people? Rick, in our textbook, talks about this. I just want to read the passage. This is the beginning of chapter 4, what we read for this week. You might have remembered it. But he says, the Lord has entrusted himself to the prophets to the degree that he will do nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servant, the prophets. This is Amos 3:7. He has obligated himself to share everything with his prophets simply because he wants to, because the prophets are his friends. The foremost calling of a prophet is to be God's friend, someone with whom he can share his most intimate purposes. Does this make sense? It's not rocket science. Only friends and true lovers share their deepest secrets because they alone can be trusted with them. That's what's so amazing about the prophetic ministry. As we just fall in love with God and spend time with God and grow in our relationship with God, he just delights in revealing stuff to us. He just says, you know, I want you to know what's going to happen this afternoon. I want you to know you're going to get a phone call from this person. I want you to know there's going to be a business opportunity that's going to come today, but you need to run away from it. Or there's going to be something that's going to come that you need to lean into. He just loves to tell that stuff to us. You're going to run across somebody in church who just needs a hug. I need you to pray for them. This is who God is, and this is what's so wonderful about prophetic ministry, about growing in the prophetic, is it's just a sensitivity to God, and he loves to just reveal that to us. So I encourage you, begin to just write your prophetic journal, and just whatever you feel like is coming, don't worry. We'll sort it out later. We're going to learn to sort stuff, but just begin to get some of those things done as we go. So I'm going to ask Felicity to come up, and I felt like it was okay for me to talk a little bit tonight, you know, kind of as a teacher, which is really more my gig. But I felt like we needed to have someone just share sort of the experience of the prophetic, who walks in the prophetic more than I do. So Felicity is one of those people, and so just invited her to share a little bit. Do you have a pocket or let's stick it up here, whatever works, Felicity. Yeah, so Lord, I thank you for Felicity. Thank you for her journey. She's just your daughter. And Lord, I pray that you would kindle a fire in our hearts because of what she says and what you're bringing her. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We do thank you, Lord, for your abundant love for each one of us, right? God is love, and I'm so grateful for each one of us that we know him personally, and that he first loved us, and we obviously heard him. We obviously heard a prophetic voice when he said, come to me, when we gave our lives to him. So remember that he wants to commune with each one of us. He longs to actually build relationally. And I just wanted to share a scripture confirming the Amos 1 mark, which is from Proverbs 3:12. In the NIV it says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And in the Passion Translation, it reads, every tender lover finds friendship with God and will hear his intimate secrets. So know that that's God's will, his desire. He longs to have relationship with us. And in the beginning, Mark read that scripture about Mary and Martha. I was such a Martha. So there's hope for everybody. I like to say now, I love to sit at Jesus' feet. I absolutely adore him. And I can do nothing without him. And when I do, it doesn't work very well. So I love to spend time with my Father. And I know that that's his will for everybody. And the more we spend time with him, the more we dwell in him, abide in him, the words that Mark was using, the more we will come to know him. And we will know that it's his voice with us, and he will communicate with us as he desires us to communicate with him. So it is a two-way street. And I'll start way back with a bit of a testimony. I've been a Christian for 33 years. I gave my life to the Lord 33 years ago. But prior to that, I grew up in a Christian family. And my parents were a wonderful example of living a Christian life. But unfortunately for me, in that community, it really was just such a religion to me. So I remember reading that scripture, hearing that scripture. Actually, we didn't read Bibles. We just got given creeds and things to read. I'm not knocking any churches. I'm grateful for my whole journey with God. But anyway, I remember reading that commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I remember just thinking, I don't know what that means. Like, how on earth do I get there? Because there just wasn't a relationship. I didn't have a relationship with God. That was the first season, and it felt like a law to me. And I can look back and say that. When at the time, I really just went through all the paces of the religion and all the ceremonies and the things that happened in that church. And always in community. I encourage that. I've always been in a church community, and I thank God for keeping me in that. But I did go through a season where I was obviously seeking him and desperate for him, but not quite knowing what I was looking for. And got myself into a terrible eating disorder, and God rescued me. You know the scripture that says, call out to God, and he will rescue you. He will save you, and he did that. He rescued me, saved me, delivered me, healed me, all the things that he so faithfully does. And I can stand here today saying, I'm fully healed, thanks be to God. And with that, I started to think, wow, who is this God that he loves me so much, even when I was such a sinner? And that wasn't all. I lived a very worldly life in those days. But was very thankful at that time to understand that I needed to accept Jesus as my Savior. And at that time, I knew nothing about prophecy. I just knew that there must have been prophets in the Old Testament. That was kind of the sum total of what I realized. But I just was so thankful to God, and I wanted to know more of him. I wanted to know what that meant, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And God in his graciousness leads us on. When we desire more of him, he will lead us. And so in my next season, I learned that the fullness of Christ, I learned that there's Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who in the other church communities I'd been in, the Holy Spirit was very much ignored. And it was such a revelation to me, and that is the Spirit of Jesus who lives in us, who dwells in us. And that is why we now can say we are never alone, and that every moment of every day, God is in us and in every moment of every day. And so with that, I learned that there was gifts of the Spirit, one being prophecy, and I gained knowledge in that. And then in time, got baptized in the Holy Spirit and really felt the difference in my life of God living in me, present, just so amazing, so wonderful, and wanted to spend time with him. No longer did I feel like I had to. I grew up in a religious background where, like you were saying, Maurice, it was good that I knew that you had to read your Bible or that you had to say your prayers, but nothing for me ever really came from my heart. It was tradition and religion. And it was so wonderful to desire more of God and to spend time with him. And the more time I spent with him, the more I got to know him and the more I could feel his love and I could express my love to him. And I could say, I love you, God, with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength. I could feel it. I could know I was doing it. And I knew that it wasn't me, because as it says in Romans 5, 5b, that his endless love cascades into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So as Mark was saying earlier, no striving, no performance. It's no effort to get to know Jesus. It's just a dwelling in his presence. He adores us. If we adore him, if we want to spend time with him, he will infill our lives more and more with who he is and with his love, that we then can enjoy with him, but also to give out to others. And as we do that, and as I've done that, I've got to hear more of his heart. And for me, the first prophetic word that we received, I shared the other day about the baby, when someone gave us those words, which I was so just so grateful to God for that simple message. So when Mark was saying, you know, that and they just have to be short, one word. If God gives you prophetic words, don't feel like it's got to be a huge, big prophecy with many words when you're doing your journaling. But so the first picture I had, I was praying for somebody, And I was praying for her, and I just said to her, because I saw this picture of a house, and I saw someone walking in the house, and I thought, well, I was going to say something. I don't really know. I'm going to risk it, right? And so I said to this woman, you know, I just see this picture of someone in a house, and she just burst into tears, and she said, oh, how do you know? And I was like, I don't know. And so she said, well, I'm actually having an affair with somebody, and, you know, asked me to pray with her and God to forgive her, and it ended up being a good end to that story. But so when God gives you pictures and you are dwelling with him and your heart is for him and you are one with him, know that it'll be his voice speaking to you. The enemy can't lie to you when you're in that place of just abiding in him. You're thinking about him. You're reading his word. His word, he is the author of this book. There's no other book that we read as we're reading it that the author is with us. So his spirit is with us, bringing revelation to his word as we read it. And it's a wonderful and exciting place to be. So in the next season of my life as well, I felt like I was really starting to become a Mary, more of a Mary in my Martha days of striving and trying to do things in my own strength were coming to an end. And I haven't arrived. I've still got a long journey. I long for more of God in my life and more oneness, and that I would know him in every single moment of the day, that never once would I think, oh, Lord, I haven't even thought of you for about 2 or 3 hours, you know, in this conversation, in this talking to people. I long for that, to be like Jesus, who only did what his Father told him to do. And so I long for that. But I think the biggest thing that has led me to an absolute intimacy with God is that I absolutely trust him through the journey with him, through life, through the high mountaintops and through lots of valleys. Life has not been easy, but God is faithful. And I have learned to absolutely trust him. And in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord. And this is from the Passion Translation, by the way. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with an undivided devotion. Yeah, it is beautifully written in the Passion Translation. So that's what I've learned, is that I absolutely trust God. I love him with all my heart, and I tell him that. There are no formulas. Please don't think you've got to do what I do. I'm a morning person. I'm useless in the evenings. I love to wake up early. I love to be with my dad. I love to spend time with him. He will show me things. I will speak to him. He'll give me scriptures. In fact, the more time that I have, the better it is. And when I have to be rushed for time, I don't have a good day, because I really love to be with my Father. And but I want to be that for the whole full day and night, you know, that I just have that dwelling in him, I suppose, so that I can still be earthly good. Where was I? Sorry, I'm getting a bit carried away here.
That's good.
So what I have learned is that it's so important, especially in this season of life where the world looks really wrong and it's hard to see love in a lot of places, is that we need to live in Christ, in his Spirit. And we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. It is him that fills our hearts with love. So we need to commune with him. And I try every day when I wake up, the first thing that I wake up, I'll be, good morning, God. Thanks for this new day. Thank you. Never mind what is going to transpire, but thank you, God. I give him thanks the first thing I do, so that he knows that my heart is open. There's always so much to be thankful for. And welcome, Holy Spirit. I surrender to you. I surrender everything to you this moment. Would you lead me through the day? Would you have your way? It's a much safer place to be than to try and lead our own lives, is to let him, as it said in Proverbs 3, right? And so I long, in Colossians 2, verses 9 to 10. Oh, goodness. Sorry, guys. Okay, so I'm reading again from the Passion Translation. It says, "For he is the complete fullness of the deity living in human form." That's talking about Jesus, right? "And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe." So the fullness of Christ we have in us. And it's learning, and that's what I've been learning, is what our inheritance is in Christ. It is incredible. And it's to take hold of that inheritance, the love that we already have in us, his spirit that we already have in us, that fills us with joy, with peace, and to believe that. It is faith that it allows us to claim the promises that God has made. It is faith that will open that. So it's to believe that we have the goodness of God in us. We are filled with his love. Even when we're not feeling like loving somebody else, it doesn't feel very nice or that we like them, God's love in us we have, and we just need to let God have the time to release it and pour upon people, right? And also just realizing what limits that flow are, obviously there's a lot, and sin separates us. So if we're sinning in any way, it is going to distort and hinder the fullness of our relationship with God. But he is God, and he's such a forgiving God. So we just need to confess. And sometimes I'll sit there and say, God, I feel like I can't really hear what you're saying. I don't really know what to pray. It feels very dry. And then he'll show me. He'll be like, "Christy, well, you said this or you did that." And it's so releasing. And then I can just say, "Sorry, God, please forgive me." We need to deal with the foxes, because even the little foxes come to mess with the vineyard, right? And in Song of Songs, which, by the way, I could never, ever read. When we were in our days of religion, way back then, and not relationship with God, people used to read, I used to think, oh, my goodness. Because I wasn't hearing it in the spirit. I was hearing it as, oh, I just thought it was weird and just. But now I love to read Song of Songs because it's about our divine romance, us, his bride, with our bridegroom, which is awesome. But it's taken me many years to get that revelation of it. So I wanted to read from Song of Songs 2, chapter 2. Verse 15. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation again. It says, "You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together." So God's asking us to see those little foxes, to catch them, to take hold of them, but then together. He's such an awesome God, right? Mm-hmm. He's always with us. He's always partnering with us. We need never feel alone. That's what I've so learned about the love of God. It's such an unconditional love. There's his staff, which is so loving and so kind, but there's also his rod of correction, but it's because he loves us. And it's a very safe and secure place. So just the things that will hinder our love with God is obviously not spending time with him. We really do need to spend time with him. As we build our relationships with each other, the more time we spend with each other, the more we get to know each other, the more we can talk to each other, converse. It's the same with God. The more we commune with him, and it really is sometimes just resting in him, just being with God and being quiet and hearing what it is that he's saying. I will so often say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying for so-so? So-and-so, do you have a word? My heart feels unsettled. What is it? And he shows us, sometimes in pictures. And that's what he does in, that's what he does in scripture too. He showed people in pictures. Sometimes through another person bringing a prophetic word. For me, it's usually pictures, usually through his word, and then something that he'll drop into my heart. And it is to be obedient to that and share it with those he wants us to share with. Also taking time. I take time to ask him, really, what is it that you're saying? So last week when Hannah had shared what she was needing prayer for, I had just got a picture of these boots in mud. And I was saying, thinking, God, I don't know what I'm going to say to somebody. What do I do with this? And then afterwards, I thought I was saying, just say it. So, and then when Hannah said that, I was like, well, thanks, God. And it's so encouraging. But as I said, none of us have arrived. It's a learning journey that we're on with hearing God's heart, prophesying, bringing his heart to each other. And that's what his desire for all of us. And it's a privileged, wonderful place to be. I just want to see what I wanted to finish with. Here. In Psalm 25, verse 14, it says, There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near to him and receive the revelation of his promises. Oh, the revelation secrets of his promises. Sorry, I can't read my writing. Okay, so Psalm 25, verse 14. There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near to him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Receive them, believe them, share them. Here we go.
Don't go. Do you have any questions for Paul? We've got a minute. Just anything you want to talk to about, ask away.
Yeah. Do you ever have the experience where God gives you a vision and you follow that even though you don't know what he's doing in your life, and he almost leads you on this path like you're sleepwalking, and you don't really see the fruition of that prophecy until years later? Is that
definitely? But you know, Brian, if someone gives me a prophetic word, I will really take it before God and spend time asking him, what of this is you, God? Because we prophesy in part, right? So there's some of that is, I'm not saying it won't be of God, but I always go before him and ask him. And if you obviously witnessed in your spirit that it was of God. And then I do, there are not a lot of prophecies actually that I've seen come to full fruition, but I do walk believing them and I write them down. And declare them over my husband and I. They often are for the two of us or over our family. Prophecy can take a long time to be outworked. I mean, if you think of when they prophesied about Jesus, the prophets of the Old Testament and when he did come, you know. And John with Revelation, and that's only unfolding, right?
Right. Yeah, a lot of ancient prophecies. Yeah. Thousands of years.
Yeah. So does that answer your question? Yeah, and speak to your people in leadership. You know, I there's definitely times where I've gone to those who are my leaders, I trust, and I just say, what do you, you know, have you got any thoughts on this prophecy? And but it is God that will show us, and it's just wonderful to have confirmation from our leaders or our close friends. Or, yeah.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
When Mark introduced you, he said something along the lines of that you're used in the prophetic. I think the words were a lot more than he would be.
That's most people in the room, Jeff.
It's very humble.
And I recognize that very much so, right? Like, so what, I'd love to hear more about how the turn came for you, like how you kind of knew that was, let's call it a gift from God, that you were going to be a lot more involved, and let's say, Mark says, most everybody else in the room.
Yeah.
How did that turn start, and how did you kind of know, how did you become to know that?
As simple as that prophecy that I shared about the house with the figure in the house. So about a year later, when I heard more about prophecy, did I think, oh God, that was what you were doing. You were showing me a prophetic picture for this woman that would bring her into healing, right? And so with really spending lots of time with God, because it's usually when I say to him, God, what have you got for Oceanside? What are you thinking for Oceanside? Or with the prophecy I had after the Easter service, where God showed that there was gold moving through the streets and there was an open heaven over the city. At that service, I was just rejoicing and saying, thank you, God. Thank you for unity in you, for the body of your believers gathering together. And as I was thanking him and praising him, I saw these pictures. God usually shows me pictures, because I think because I'm so visual, right? And then I took that, Jeff, so give that example, that prophecy that he gave me. I took that and I prayed over it and I pondered over it for a long time before I even shared it with Mark. Well, say about 2 weeks, that one, because I wanted to be sure that I was hearing God's heart in it, you know? And I mean, God will say to me, like with Hannah's, you know, you could have spoken right then and there. But so often with the prophecy that I gave Oceanside years ago, right in the beginning from Ezekiel 47, when God showed me the picture of what would happen in Oceanside, and I shared it with Mike, I hadn't shared it yet. I was pondering it, and then we were somewhere, and I was reading the Bible, and I started reading Ezekiel 47. I was like, oh my goodness, God, this is what you're saying. This is the prophecy that you were giving, but I didn't know that that was in the Bible at that stage, right? And so then I shared it with Mike. So how did I know? It is step by step. It's little steps. It's risking. It's risking. I mean, like times where we're here and we're just praying for people and a word comes to mind for you in the big open field, the spacious place. You know, we risk saying that. But when our hearts are so fully for God. And you know, Jeff, God wants everybody to prophesy. God wants everybody to bring his heart to his people, right? For us to dwell in him and hear his heart for ourselves, but also for each other. Yeah, so if you feel like you have a gift of prophecy, you probably have a gift of prophecy. And prophets is another thing, right? But I thank God for giving me a gift of prophecy. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives it to us. And that's probably the biggest thing with prophecy, is it's really not in our own strength. It's not from us. It's from him, and it's such a safe thing.
Maybe one more? Yeah, go ahead, then we'll go.
Did you feel physically affected by when you were starting out, when you didn't say the word that's on your heart that God gives you? I find that when I get a word, often if I just keep it to myself, there's this feeling that comes over me. And I don't know if that...
What kind of feeling is it?
It's kind of a heavy weight. And then I feel like I hurt because I didn't come out with it.
Yes, I do, definitely do. And I'm often apologizing to God, saying, I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God is God, and he will use somebody else if we don't take the message. I would say it is him saying, you know, my daughter, share the word I put on your heart, right? So, yeah. And honestly, as Mark said, it's worth risking. It's you know, when you have a prophetic word, speak to the leaders and ask them, you know, what their thoughts are. It's safe. It's very safe to be accountable to them and to ask them what their thoughts are.
Can I just pray for us?
Sure.
Just pray for this intimacy piece, and
yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, pleasure. Lord, we just thank you so much that you are our Father. Thank you for your incredible love that you have for each one of us. Right now, I ask, Holy Spirit, would you light the flames in our hearts? Would you let them burn strong and glow with your absolute adoration for us? And I ask that in every way, each one of us would grow ever closer and more intimate with you, Father God, that we would know you more, that we'd hear your heart, and that we'd be your faithful vessels and ambassadors here on earth to bring your love to others and your words of prophecy, to bring encouragement and whatever it is, God, that you want us to share with this world. We ask, Holy Spirit, that in every way you would anoint us and equip us and fill us with your joy and oneness with you. May we yield with you and not strive. Thank you, Lord. Amen.